This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. How to protect certain pristine forests has been the subject of debate for years in Colorado and around the country. These places are known somewhat unromantically as roadless areas. They cover more than 4 million acres in this state, and earlier this month, the Obama administration announced it would defer to Colorado's plan for protecting them. But that may not be the last word. Here to make sense of all this is Kirk Sigler, who's covering the story for our fellow public radio station KUNC in Greeley. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Can you give me an example of a roadless area in Colorado so we can kind of picture what we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's 4 million acres, so they're literally everywhere. But I think most recently in the news, one that some of the listeners might know of is an area between Carbondale, Paonia, and Rifle on the Western Slope. That's called the Thompson Divide area. It's a very contentious area because there's long been plans to have oil and gas drilling in there, but it's also, in some people's minds, a very pristine part of the state and pristine forests.
And you've alluded there to some of the pressures on roadless areas. So let's go down the list. Certainly energy drilling is one of them.
Right. There's all sorts of development pressures on any public land in the West. Oil and gas drilling is the most obvious example here in Colorado that we hear of. But you also have ski resort expansions. You have encroaching home developments, vacation homes coming up into the areas. And the roadless areas are these mid-level forests, especially in Colorado, that sort of buffer between maybe the protected rock and ice peaks that we all know of, and those are federally protected wilderness. And then you have the developed areas. And these are sort of the mid-level areas that don't always get the iconic status, but a lot of people want to see them protected.
Yeah, they're somewhat hard to describe, right? They're not national parks. They're not actual wilderness areas under the federal government's designations, right?
Right, but in conservation minds and wildlife biologist minds in particular, these are very crucial wildlife habitat areas. And especially in a state like ours, where there's been a lot of development and pressures for 4 decades, maybe more, many people think these are kind of the last battleground.
And so this speaks to why there's been so much tension around whose plan for these roadless areas prevails. And as we said, the state plan seems to have prevailed over the federal plan here. All this really boils down to, Kirk, what people can and can't do in roadless areas. So what does that look like under the state plan?
Well, the state's plan is frankly very similar to what is in the 2001 national rule that was first brought about and put into law at the late hour of the Clinton administration. I mean, we're really talking about the dispute here is really over just a few thousand acres, several thousand acres. Colorado's plan does have some exceptions for ski resort expansions, very limited ski resort expansions, some limited coal mining expansions, in particular over on the Western Slope in Paonia and the North Fork Valley, and also some exceptions to temporary roads to treat beetle-killed forests in some roadless areas that it's thought widely pose a major wildfire risk in areas that are close to people's homes and businesses.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and Kirk Sigler over at public radio station KUNC joins us. We're talking about roadless areas and the decision that the state plan for protecting them will prevail over the federal. What's been the reaction to the idea that the state's vision is going to be the one that's implemented?
Rather mixed. It would appear, however, that a lot of people in Colorado support it. I mean, this was a 6-year planning process that spanned 3 governors, started with Republican Governor Bill Owens and then Governor Ritter and now Governor Hickenlooper, 2 Democrats, a Republican. And it included a lot of stakeholders, and it really was effectively nonpartisan. So you've got a lot of interests at stake, and some of the most vocal supporters of it have been the ski resort industry, because there are a couple exceptions, and state and federal foresters, and the mining association, the Colorado Mining Association. I spoke with Stuart Sanderson, who's president, and very pleased. He thinks a lot of jobs were on the line, because if a coal mine can't expand, then effectively the mines would have to shut down.
And what this essentially does is avoid the premature shutdown of those operations, and it will preserve the jobs of the coal miners.
Now, Ryan, reaction from the environmental community is mixed. Some local sportsmen and hunting groups like the plan, but a lot of national environmental groups say the original 2001 national rule should be and is the law of the land, according to the most recent court case. And they say that that should be in effect here in Colorado.
I think everybody is in agreement that the 2001 rule is the law of the land as of today.
And that's Peter Hart, who's with the Wilderness Workshop in Carbondale. How does that federal rule differ from what the state envisions?
Well, like I said, it's really just a matter of several thousand acres, and the state has some exceptions in the plan that were not in the 2001 national rule.
Why do you think the Colorado plan won out?
Well, I think Colorado officials made a pretty good pitch that this 6-year planning process was very nonpartisan, included a lot of stakeholders, and the federal government shouldn't just ignore that and go back to the 2001 national rule. Interestingly, Harris Sherman, who at the time was the director of the Department of Natural Resources here in Colorado, and who's now the undersecretary of agriculture in charge of the U.S. Forest Service, he had to recuse himself from ruling on Colorado's roadless rule. He wrote the Colorado roadless rule plan. So Colorado officials do hold quite a bit of sway within the Obama administration and in particular within the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Interestingly, Tom Vilsack, the agriculture secretary, up until recently had come out in support of the 2001 national rule publicly. I recall him in an interview to me back in 2009, I believe it was, saying the 2001 national rule is what we support. So there seems to be a bit of an about face that happened or a change of his mind with the agriculture secretary coming here to Denver recently and saying he supported the Colorado roadless rule.
Is this the end of the debate?
No. This is one of those stories that we cover that seems to like never end, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I've been covering it for, I was trying to think on the drive down here, for like 6 years in Montana and now, of course, in Colorado. When Vilsack came here to Denver and said, in an interview with reporters after the announcement for the Colorado roadless rule, he said he hoped this was the end of the story. But I think in the back of his mind, he knows that the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals in Denver recently upheld the 2001 national rule, effectively making that the law of the land. So it's not clear if there will be another lawsuit or challenge to the Colorado roadless rule because environmentalists are saying, look, that's the law of the land. He also, in another interesting twist, which was sort of expected, I guess, the state of Wyoming and the Colorado Mining Association, after that 10th Circuit Court of Appeals rule, have now asked the U.S. Supreme Court to take up the case. It's not clear if they will, but it is clear that this is certainly not the end of the story.
Is Colorado alone in coming up with its own plan?
Well, no, only Colorado and Idaho drafted their own management plans for roadless forests. That was back in 2005 when the Bush administration came in and overturned the 2001 Clinton rule and asked states to petition the federal government with their management plans. This was like a states' rights federal government issue. Only Colorado and Idaho went ahead with it. Colorado's plan started out as being billed as an insurance policy. Just in case the 2001 national rule was thrown out, then Colorado's forests would be protected. It's interestingly since morphed, at least in rhetoric, to being billed as a national model for how states and the federal government can work together in a very collaborative process with various stakeholders.
Kirk, thanks so much for explaining this long and complicated but important story.
Glad to do it.
Kirk Sigler is a reporter for public radio station KUNC in Greeley. The Forest Service is taking comments on the proposed roadless plan through the end of the month. You can learn more at cpr.org.